The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter Number 7, Texts Number 13 through 19, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on July 2nd, 2014, in Los Angeles, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Upari. Oh, there's no word for word. Everyone can. Oh, they put 19 on the board. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll read all the others. Usually, it's the other. Most temples we do it the other way. You chant the first one and then go through. But here we'll do the. This is the new Dwarka style. We'll do the all the verses. Read all through the verses and we'll chant when we get to the last one. Okay. Upari dashchatmani gota netrayo parinate pravishta samedita samantur abdim pedasamadot katha mahadrina chobita nakta chakram. The demigods and demons worked almost madly for the nectar, encouraged by the Lord, who was above and below the mountain, and who had entered the demigods, the demons, Vasuki, and the mountain itself. Because of the strength of the demigods and demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all the alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in this way. Text 14. Ahindam sahasra kotaridrin mukha Sashagni dumahata varshaso sada Paloma kaleha belil valadeo Devagni dagdha sarala ibhavavam. Vasuki had thousands of eyes and mouths. From his mouths he breathed smoke and blazing fire, which affected the demons headed by Paloma, Kaleha, Bali, and Ilvala. Thus the demons, who appeared like sarala trees burned by a forest fire, gradually became powerless. Devangshtachasa sikahata pravan dumrambara shragvara kanshukananan samabhyavarshan bhagavad vishagana vavu samrudror mupagudda vayava. Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing breath of Vasuki, their bodily lusters diminished, and their garments, garlands, weapons, and faces were blackened by smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, clouds appeared in the sea, pouring torrents of rain, and breezes blew, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give the demigods relief. Text 16. Machamanatata sindhur devasura varuta pai yadasuda najayata nirmanmantajadita svayam. When the nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of God, Ajita, personally began to churn the ocean. Text number 17. Megashama Konaka Paridhi Karana Vijota Vijun Murdi Vrajad Vilalita Kacha Shragdaro Vrakta Netra Jatara Dobra Jagad Abhaya Daira Danda Sukam Grihitva Matnan Matna Pradigarir Ivasho Batato Detadri. The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His earrings shone on his ears like lightning. In his hair spread over his shoulders, he wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which award fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean using Mandara Mountain as a churning rod. When engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautifully situated mountain named Indranila. Text 18. Namatyama nad udader abud visham mohobanam hala halavam agraja sambranta minon makarati kachapat timidvipa gaha tamingila kulat. The fish, sharks, tortoises, and snakes were most agitated and perturbed. The entire ocean became turbulent, and even the large aquatic animals like whales, water elephants, crocodiles, and timagillafish, large whales that can swallow small whales, came to the surface. While the ocean was being churned in this way, it first produced a fiercely dangerous poison called halahala. So now we're up to the text on the board, text number 19. Then we'll do the word for word. Tat ugravegam dishi dishi upari adha visarpat utsarpat sahyam aprati bita praja dudrivu anga saishvara arakshamana sharanam sadashivam. Tadugravegam dishi dishi upadyatho visarpad utsarpad asayam aprati bita praja drudruvur angas sheshvara arakshamana sharanam sadashivam tad ugravegam dishi dishyapadyatho visarpadu sarpadasahyam aprati vita praja drudruvur angas sheshvara arakshamana sharanam sadashivam. Tat that ugravegam very fierce and potent poison dishi dishi in all directions upari upward adha downward visharpat curling utsarpat going upward asahyam unbearable aprati uncontrollable bita being very much afraid praja the residents of all the worlds dhruvuhu moving here and there anga O Maharaj Parikshit, Saishvara, with the Supreme Lord, Arakshamana, not being protected, Sharanam, shelter, Sadashivam, unto the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. Translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O king, when that uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods along with the Lord himself approached Lord Shiva, Sadashiva. Feeling unsheltered and very much afraid, they sought shelter of him. Purport. One may question that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present, why did he accompany all the demigods and people in general to take shelter of Lord Sadashiva instead of intervening himself? In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya warns, Rudrasya Yashashor Taya Svangam Vishnur Vishang Vibhu Nasanjahre Samartopi Vayang Choche Prashantaye. Lord Vishnu was competent to rectify the situation, but in order to give credit to Lord Shiva, who later drank all the poison and he kept it in his neck, Lord Vishnu did not take action.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Ragana Tanvita Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine.
Pretty interesting verse, really. Krishna taking shelter of Lord Shiva. The Shivaites will love this one. They say, "Yeah, we told you Shiva was the supreme. You're not reading your Bhagavatam." But these commentaries of the great acharyas are very important, you see. With our tiny brains, what we can actually understand. We require these purports in the great acharyas so we can understand the actual meaning. So it is clarified by our beloved Madhvacharya. What is the actual position? Actually, Krishna likes to see, Prabhupada explains in an earlier purport in the Bhagavatam, Krishna likes to see that his devotees are the hero of an episode in which he himself is the doer. And what is the classic example? Of course, is the Bhagavad Gita. You see, Krishna says, actually, I've already killed them all, but now you go forward, you fight, and you get the credit. So Krishna is like that. Just like a father, he may not have been very competent, but if his son becomes very competent, he's very, very pleased, you see. So Krishna likes to see that his devotees become even more glorified than he himself becomes glorified. This is why he explains in the Adi Purana. He says, "Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata." My dear son of Prita Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So we have to become devotees of the devotees. I was just realizing this morning, Krishna blessed me with the realization. What are we trying to develop here anyway in this movement? This is the Krishna consciousness movement, right? So we're trying to develop Krishna consciousness. And especially that means a taste for the name, especially. Because Krishna is his name. The name is Krishna, Krishna is the name. There's no difference. Whatever feeling or taste you have for the name, that is your Krishna consciousness, in a nutshell. But yet, Krishna is saying, unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So along with the devotion for the name and attachment for the name, along with the relishing the name, we have to learn how to relish the devotees. In other words, to whatever extent we can relish the association of Vaishnavas, that runs parallel with how much we relish the name of Krishna. If I can't stand this devotee and that devotee, you see, there's some problems. We have some problems. I can't stand that devotee. You see? We have some problems. Even if there's some disagreement, you see, in our heart we have to find a way to worship that devotee and relish that devotee. It's confirmed in the Namaparad. The first offense is to be offensive towards Vaishnavas. The first Namaparad is Vaishnavaparad. So just see the parallelism between Nam and Vaishnava, you see. So our daily interactions in this movement, we have a glorious opportunity. You see, there's Nama Ruchi and there's Vaishnava Sangha Ruchi. We have a wonderful opportunity to cultivate loving feelings towards devotees in our everyday activities. And the more those actually become matured, developed, enriched with sweetness, you see, delectable, the more they become enhanced, that the name runs parallel with that. And they actually feed into each other as well. The more you go into the name, the more you appreciate devotees, the more you appreciate devotees, the more you appreciate the name. So this is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Mine, what kind of rascal are you? You want to go to a solitary place and chant Hare Krishna?" Is he? We chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees. And by that, the whole chanting process becomes enriched, strengthened, empowered, uplifted, transformed gradually to the higher stages, you see. Prabhupada told us, you must become Paramahamsa, you see. But he warned us not to think that we're Paramahamsa. He actually said it's a very rare thing that someone can actually become Paramahamsa. But he told us. He personally told me in one letter, he said, now you become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So how important it is that we have loving relationships with devotees. I remember in the early days,
One devotee said, yeah, we're not supposed to love the devotees, only supposed to love Krishna. Don't love the devotees. I was a little shocked to hear that, but I was a new devotee, a new bhakti. I didn't know what to say. It was a Brahmin, you know, he was saying, you're not supposed to love devotees, that's not right. Only love Krishna. But then later on, the Upadeshamrita came out. Wow, I was really enlivened. You know, the loving exchanges between devotees. I went, wow, this is great. Ki jai. Loving exchanges between devotees. Yeah, it's not just some impersonal thing, you know, like a Mayavadi ashram. It's everybody has their relationship with Krishna, and we don't have any relationships with each other. It was such a nice thing when that Upadeshamrita came out. Yeah. So the Upadeshamrita teaches us how to develop loving relationships with the devotees and with the name. Both, there's verses for both things. Text number 7 is very nice verse. Shat Krishna Nama Saritari Satapyavidya Pito Pitasya Rasya Nasya Navrochi Kanu Kidvandadanadinam Karishai Vajushta Sadikramad Bhavati Tadgalamula Hantri. The holy name, character and pastimes of Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the disease of ignorance, of vidya, you see, cannot relish anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his heart, and his disease is, it breaks within the tongue and the heart, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. This is the beauty of the bhakti process, you see. The karmakanda thing, you can wipe out some, you know, some reactions, but you don't get rid of the tendency to sin, you see. But the bhakti process is far, far superior because this uproots it. You may ask your child to go weed the garden. He may come back 10 minutes later, Mommy and Daddy, I just finished weeding the garden. And said, oh, it looks very nice, my dear son. The next morning, all the weeds are back. He cut them off at the surface. He didn't pull them out by the root. Is it? So, this bhakti process, it uproots those demoniac tendencies, that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy, all that crud that's been sitting in our hearts, contaminating us for millions and millions of births, you see. We never want to shake it off. Even if we're pious, even a pious person can't shake off these things. By piety, you cannot do, you see. Not possible. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi kutopalabhyate tattalayang apimulamekalam janmakoti sukritarinalabhyate. Even if you do pious activities for hundreds and millions of lives, you cannot get this Krishna consciousness. And this is this very nice verse where Prabhupada derived the term Krishna consciousness from, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. If someone says, what does Krishna consciousness mean? You just tell them, oh, it means Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. That's the meaning. One who relishes the sweet mellows of devotional service to Krishna. Relishing the sweet mellows of devotional service to Krishna, you see. That's Krishna consciousness. That rasa, you see, that sweet, sweet rasa, that flavor, that taste, that relationship. That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's developing a loving relationship with Krishna. So the verse explains that you cannot get it by executing pious activities in hundreds of millions of lives. It can be achieved by paying only one price, tattalayam, intense greed to obtain it. And if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So you got to find somebody that's Krishna conscious. You see? And beg their mercy. You see? We have one great Krishna conscious person. You see? He didn't have material facility, but he had Krishna consciousness. His divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He had no facility. But he had that unflinching faith in the name, and he had the unflinching faith in the order of his spiritual master. He had gotten that from his spiritual master. That wonderful evening in Uttadanga, Calcutta, when he was captured by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, a young upcoming businessman, manager of a big chemical factory, you see. His friend Narendranath Malik was dragging him, didn't want to go. No, I've seen all these sadhus. These bogus sadhus, I'm not interested in another sadhu. No, this one is different. You must come, Abhay. You must come. All right. So immediately, it's amazing, just immediately got an order as soon as he walks in. You must spread this Krishna consciousness to the English speaking world. He's a guest. Wasn't a member of the ashram. He's a guest. He immediately got an order. You must spread this Krishna consciousness movement to the English speaking world. Immediately argued. Who will hear from us? We got to get independence. These Britishers, we got to get free of these Britishers. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati convinced him. This has nothing to do with who's ruling, who the political rulers are. It's nothing to do with politics. And Prabhupada said, practically, he initiated me. It wasn't for 11 years. It wasn't until 1933 he actually got formal initiation, but actually Prabhupada said he was practically initiated from that very moment, 1922. And he was always thinking, oh, I have met such a great saintly spiritual master. So, just as he was blessed, now we have been blessed. This Krishna Bhakti, the greatest blessing, Krishna Bhakti. We can't even conceive actually of how great of a blessing it is. It's beyond our conception how great of a blessing this is. How long we've suffered here on the cycle of birth and death. And now this great personality has taken all the risk, taking our karma. I recently watched a video of Prabhupada. He said, spiritual master thinks, let me go to hell, but let these rascals be saved. You see, he took all of this karma, so many thousands. We were like mostly hippies doing all nonsense. He takes our karma. You can imagine the karma of the hippies. The drugs, the sex, all that garbage. He took it. Inconceivable mercy of Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So, that's the secret. You have to go where it is available. And you have to purchase it. So what is the price? Simply your faith. Simply your faith. Previously I was being misguided by so many bogus gurus. And I remember there was one of these fellows, his name was Steve Gaskin. He was a big guru in San Francisco back in 1969, and he organized all his disciples that were going to go on this caravan out to save the world around the U.S. And there was a big meeting in the park there overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Who was going to go on the buses? And I went there. I wanted to go, but they said, how much money do you have? I said, I don't have any money. Well, you can't come. You see, you had to have money to qualify. It was Krishna's mercy. Really Krishna's mercy. I didn't go on the Steve Gaskin bus. Lucky I didn't have any money. It was Krishna's mercy. But see, you had to have money. You see? So where do we require money in this Krishna Gandhas movement? Prior to that, I went for initiation with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I had to pay 1 month's rent to get my diksha. You see? 1 month's rent to get initiated by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And they gave me this mantra. They said 20 minutes a day, meditate on them. So I was thinking, okay, I'm going to become self-realized now. I'm going to do this, aing. And there was going, aing, 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 aing. Just imagine a jet airplane on the runway, right, trying to take off, right? And it's an endless runway. It never lifts off. That's what I was like. I was at a jet trying to zoom down that runway. Aing, 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 aing. But nothing happened. I just kept taxiing down the runway, stuck in the material world, you see. But it's interesting, that same mantra Prabhupada gives as part of the Gayatri, which is Aing Gurave Namaha. The same exact syllables, but when you chant it from the pure devotee, you go right through the stratosphere, you know, to the spiritual stratum. Prabhupada just lifts us right out of this material world, you see. And he didn't charge any money. He just wanted one price to pay, and that is faith. You have to trust me, that's all. Just trust me. I've not come to chew you like these others. I've simply come to give you the greatest gift. Now put your faith, you see. That's all. So we did that. So many have put our faith in Prabhupada, and wow, did we get the greatest blessing. We were saved from a life of sinful activities, being dragged down to the animal kingdom. What a great mercy of Srila Prabhupada to save us like this. And now it's our duty, you see. This same mercy that Prabhupada has given to us, now we have to be very, very, very merciful to the suffering souls of this world. We have to be very, very giving people. Give, 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 give. It's like in Vrindavan, there's giving name, Yashoda, Kirti Da, givers, you see, Da. One who gives fame, Yashoda. The mood of Vrindavan is give, give, give. And the material world is take, 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 you see. Vrindavan mood, give, 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 give. So now we have to give Krishna to the world. Flood the world with these glorious literatures. Flood the world with these glorious names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And flood the world with Shadam, gulab jamuns, sweet rice, pakoras, puris, etc., 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 etc. So we have a few minutes left. Maybe there's some questions. Yeah, I'm Bhaktivatsala. You come and be my hearing aid because I can't hear. You can repeat it in my ear what she says. Okay. We're ready.
Thank you for such an enlightening class. My question is regarding to when you were saying we're supposed to love the devotees. When we recognize that maybe someone isn't the best association, how can we come to love them?
Mm-hmm. You were mentioning how we're supposed to love the devotees, have loving relationships with devotees. If there's a devotee that she believes is not good association, how does she then express her love?
Yeah, sometimes there are devotees that are very popular. Actually explained in his purport in the Bhagavatam, there are devotees in the mode of ignorance. Some of those, there are always some, there may be devotees like that, are people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, but they have a very rude, offensive nature. It happens. Let's face the reality. So how do you deal with them? Prabhupada said to stay at a distance, respect them from a distance. I'm just like an example. There's one god brother, he and I had a verbal altercation many years ago and has never healed. And I try to go up and be friendly, but it's like a stone wall. But I just, in my mind, I just think, he's my good friend, he's my buddy. I just cultivate that attitude in my brain. Even though I can't really come out and reciprocate with him, in my heart, I just think of him, yeah, he's my good buddy. Even though I can't really have any interaction with him because there's something between us that I can't penetrate him. So you got to, even if you can't relate with someone, because anytime you do it, there's some, you know, some negative energy that comes out of you. At least within your heart, you should think, yes, this person is a wonderful person because they've taken shelter of Krishna. They're serving Prabhupada's mission in this way.
Thank you again, Prabhu, for speaking so nicely and sharing your realizations. When we speak of loving devotees, as Prabhupada said, that your love for me will be shown by how much you're willing to cooperate with the devotees after my departure. So, through the years, I know that I have offended devotees, I have spoken in not very nice ways, thoughts. And in my mind, I have some devotees that I haven't seen for years that I would like to make it up to correct that situation, to be forgiven for an offense, no matter.
So what has he said so far? Let me get...
Okay.
He hasn't really gotten to the question.
What?
Yes,
All right.
So I had the good fortune. There's one devotee I was looking for 20 years. And he came through the door the other night when we got the opportunity to speak. And that I had offended, I felt, in Vrindavan, on my accord, 20 years ago. But I can't possibly go down my list of all the devotees and hope in this lifetime that I can make it up to them.
So I'm wondering what to do?
How to questions.
How to rectify those offenses? And you can't contact them?
Devotees that I can't even see anyone.
Right, yeah.
If you have this sincere mood, Krishna will accept that and understand that. I may have offended some devotee and I didn't get a chance to make up for it, but I really want to, and if I have the opportunity, I certainly will follow his feet and beg forgiveness. Krishna will see that and will accept that. Your sincerity is what counts, Prabhu. If you're sincere, everything is fine. Archita Prabhu had his hand up, but he walked away, so he had to go somewhere. Okay. So, yes. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. It was wonderful. I have a short comment about, I think it's the last verse that we read today, about the Timingila fish.
Okay.
And it seems there are such whales. Biologists have recently, you know, they have sensors, they have GPS and thermal sensors. And they have put them on killer whales. And they can see now on their on computers that once somewhere off the coast of America, a killer whale was dragged down into the depths of the ocean about, I think it was 3,000 meters.
Are you saying they found a Timingila fish? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Not a Timingila fish, but they found the sensor that was placed on a killer whale, and they cannot explain how that sensor within a very short time dropped about 3,000 meters, how much is that? 9,000 feet into the ocean and maintained a temperature which can only be maintained when inside another living animal.
It got even warmer. Have you heard about that?
Wow, that's awesome.
So they say there must be an animal that is so large that it swallows that killer whale, otherwise the sensor could not, which I have also heard about it. So confirmation, I would say, almost. I mean, pretty good.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Isn't it?
Thank you. We got about 30 seconds left. Any last quick question here before we adjourn? Okay, thank you all very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.